help us to commence this evening with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. 1072.
Thank you. Let us read together in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. The 41st chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbour, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the sheeta tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth, and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them, and to know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counsellor, that, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. O Lord, we come once more before thee in all our need, our spiritual poverty, our ignorance, our foolishness, and our sinfulness. For, Lord, thou seest us through and through, for nothing is hid from thy all-seeing eye. And, Lord, we would be solemnly conscious of that truth as we have each gathered in thy house this night. For, Lord, thou knowest the desires of our hearts. Thou knowest what has brought us here this night. and those things that exercise our souls, those things that we've been seeking for throughout the day, a portion for our souls. Oh Lord, then, unworthy though we are, sinful though we are, destitute of good, all good that we are, yet we would plead with thee for mercy. For Lord, that is our only plea, that plea for mercy in all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for poor needy sinners in coming into this world to suffer and shed his blood and die and rise again for their justification. Lord, we know these truths in our heads, but oh, it's to know it experimentally in our poor hearts, out of a feeling sense of our great need of this salvation, and thine infinite condescension, and thy love and mercy, that thou shouldest regard a poor sinner, and that these glorious truths may be revealed to us. But Lord, that our interest in that great work of the Lord Jesus might be made known to us. For Lord, it's that we desire to know, that we are found amongst thy people, whom thou didst lay down thy life for, and rise again for our justification. But Lord, it is to have the testimony of our interest in that precious blessing which thy dear people are so exercised about, to have that sealing, that token of the dear Holy Spirit in our hearts, witnessing with our spirit that all our sins have been forgiven, blotted out, put behind thy back. Lord, nothing else can satisfy a poor needy soul than to know their souls are reconciled to God, and that we are amongst those favoured characters whom thou dost review thy dear people in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray to be kept from presuming upon these things. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from that state. Lord, we want the word to be a living word to us. We want thy voice to enter into our hearts, that we may hear it with the inward ear, and that something might be done and accomplished in thy great and holy name in our poor hearts. And Lord, as thy dear people wait now before thee for a blessing, oh, do come this night and visit souls. Thou knowest every case and every condition, and thou knowest, Lord, those things that thy dear people have been waiting for. Oh, Lord, do draw near this night and sweetly manifest thyself to thy dear people as thou dost not unto the world. Oh, we pray for thy dear Holy Spirit's help. For Lord, it is alone through thy dear Holy Spirit that we are enabled to approach thee at the mercy seat rightly. For Lord, it is that dear Holy Spirit that helpeth thy people with our many infirmities. And Lord, thou knowest how great those infirmities are, feelingly, spiritually. And Lord, we have nothing that thereby can commend ourselves to thee. But Lord, we cast our all, ourselves, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading for mercy for Jesus' sake. And Lord, we pray then, for each one before thee, Lord, those who have been waiting at the throne of grace, it may be many months, for that blessing they long to know and have revealed to them. Lord, we pray that if it could please thee, that this might be the set time to favour Zion, when thou wilt come and visit thy dear people and take thy walks amongst this little company. For Lord, thou knowest those dejected, feeling destitute, souls so cast down on account of what they feel within. And oh Lord, thou knowest it all. Lord, sin penetrates every aspect of our thoughts, our desires, the words we utter, the things that we do. Oh Lord, we come so very far short. But oh, we would thank thee for that word thou hast spoken, the blood of Jesus Christ thy Son cleanseth from all sin. But Lord, we pray that none here might be left to be satisfied with the intellectual knowledge of that truth. Lord, is to know it experimentally in our poor hearts. Lord, is to know it in the application of it, to know the cleansing power of it in within. For Lord, thou knowest how defiled we are, feelingly oftentimes, and yet, Lord, oh, we would plead the efficacy of thy blood shed in Gethsemane and at Calvary to cleanse us from all our sins. Lord, then do visit those dejected souls, those cast down souls, those who Lord feel to be at the ends of the earth in their experience, knowing not what to do, but their eyes are up unto thee. Lord, we pray that thou may those crumbs fall from the Master's table, that those souls may gather for their soul's profit, that they might be encouraged and strengthened to continue. Lord, we pray for those not here this night. Thou knowest the reason why, and we bear them before thee and seek that thou remember them in much mercy. Those souls afflicted in body, some in mind perhaps, Lord, thou knowest every case. Yea, Lord, all our poor minds are afflicted with sin, thou knowest. But oh, we pray, Lord, we would that thou would remember those absent friends, and seek that thou wilt be with them where they are. Lord, we pray for the young and rising generation. Lord, we view the dear young people, and seek that thou wilt remember them in much mercy. Preserve and keep them and uphold them in this wicked world. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt set a hedge about them. But oh, do work mightily in their hearts, in their youthful days. And may they be brought to know their great need of a Saviour, and be brought to seek after thee. Lord, it's thy work, the work of the dear Holy Spirit. Oh, then do work, we pray, in the hearts of the young. And oh, may there be many, oh, may they all, if it is thy holy will, that are in this house of prayer this evening and those that gather here on the Sabbath day. Oh, Lord, as they gather, may the word be a living word to their souls. And in thy time, Lord, that thou hear their many cries and groans, and bring them to know a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, and there to anchor their hope upon the person of the dear Saviour and what he has done for poor, needy sinners. Lord, then we pray for others in all their varying pathways. And thou knowest, Lord, how varied those paths are of thy people. But, O Lord, we believe they lead, thy leadings bring us to come to one place and one place alone, and that is to the foot of the cross. Oh, do bring us there, Lord. Lead us there by the dear Holy Spirit, Lord, to behold our Saviour and our Redeemer in our room and place and stead, suffering and bleeding and dying, that such sinful wretches, such as we, might live eternally. Lord, have compassion upon us, we pray, and those seeking a word of direction, Lord, do hear their cries and lead them forth by the right way that leads to that city of habitation, that city whose builder and maker is God. Lord, we pray that, oh, that thou wilt remember each one that gathers here, and may thy presence be often known, may they, their souls be fed, nourished, strengthened, built up in their most holy faith, their souls edified, and Lord, oh, that there might be upon the lips of each one of us, and Lord, we mourn it so absent, so often, that spirit of praise for what thou art, for what thou hast done, for thy many mercies and favours thou dost bestow upon us continually. And yet, Lord, despite all our sins, those mercies, those great mercies come in one continual stream. Lord, we pray then for this little church and people, and seek that thou send real spiritual prosperity here. May there be those so wrought upon by the Holy Spirit and enabled in love to thee to desire to follow thee in thy commands. Lord, the work, the power is thine. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for what thou hast done. Oh, might there be, if it could please thee, an ingathering of precious souls in this place. We pray for the deacons and seek that thou remember them each in much mercy. Thou knowest the burden they carry in their hearts, the burden of this little house of prayer. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt sustain and uphold them in that office that they occupy. But Lord, we would bear their own souls before thee. Thou knowest the desires of their hearts, what they long for. Lord, we pray that thou, they may prove, and may each one of us prove, the truth of that word. For thou hast said, I will satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. Lord, we pray for any here who know thee not. O Lord, do work mightily in their hearts. O, may they be brought to stop and consider where they are and how they stand for eternity, the state of their souls' eternal destiny. Lord, O, do quicken souls into divine life. Lord, we pray for all thy servants, thou knowest where they're labouring this night. O, do own and bless their labours. Lord, we live in a dark day. Lord, how few gather in thy house. How few seem wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit. But Lord, how Zion languisheth, yea, our own souls languish. Lord, thou knowest it, how lifeless and how carnal we often feel to be. Yea, Lord, solemnly we have to confess there are those occasions when we become careless and indifferent. Oh, Lord, it is with shame we confess it before thee. But, Lord, as thou art dealing solemnly with Zion, our own little group of churches, thou seest the solemn departures which are taking place. Lord, oh, do appear in much mercy. Oh, turn us again. O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. For Lord, indeed, thou art hiding thy face from us. Thy dear people know it. They feel it. The withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, may it give to us an importuning prayer, cry unto thee, Lord, not only in confession, but pleading once more the dear Lord Jesus and what he has done, that yet thou will have mercy upon us. Yet, Lord, we would thank thee for that precious truth. For, Lord, thou hast said, thy Zion is graven upon the palms of thy hands. Her walls are continually before thee. Lord, we believe the truth of it. Oh, to know the blessedness of it in our own poor hearts and live upon the truth of it. But, Lord, truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, in the knowledge that we have an interest in that great work which the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Lord, we pray for any afflicted, tried and troubled ones of thy dear people. We especially remember thy dear servants afflicted, and seek that if it is thy will that thou wilt put forth thy healing hand, that there might be that measure of restoration given. And if it is thy will, may they be enabled to stand once more on Zion's walls. But Lord, we would desire to leave it all with thee, for thou knowest the end from the beginning. But oh, may these solemn events, Lord, bring us to stop and consider our own cases, and Lord, that we may know the sanctifying work of the dear Holy Spirit in our hearts, bringing us to stop and consider where we are and where we are going. And now, Lord, we would fall unreservedly into thy hands. Remember us once more, we pray, and open up the truth to us. Lord, we are wholly dependent upon thee, thou knowest. O gracious God, Keep us each from the enemy to our souls. Keep us from carnal worldly thoughts. And for a few moments, Lord, may we be enabled to taste of the sweet word of life, which when thou dost speak it into a poor sinner's heart, something is always accomplished. Lord, do pardon now all our many, many sins, and all that we have asked amiss, as we would once more plead the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. 902.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening, as the Lord will enable me, you'll find in the chapter that we read, in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 41, and verse 10. The 10th verse of the 41st chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We have in this sweet chapter, in Isaiah's prophecy, many exceeding great and precious gospel promises. And those promises are recorded in God's word for and only for the Lord's living family. They're not for the wicked. They're not for the one who is satisfied with a form of religion. The one that seems to be able to take these precious truths to themselves, but can derive no spiritual comfort from them. But they are, they are God's divine intimations of what he will do for his dear people in days to come and in and during our little lives here below and thereafter. And oh, what a mercy it is that these blessings are recorded, and that they are, and eat the Lord's people have a title to each one. It does not mean, my dear friend, that we know truly the blessedness of each one personally, although we shall know some, I believe, if we're a child of God. But the Lord's people have a title to all God's promises in his word, and they come to his people through the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. All the promises of the gospel are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And so, my dear friend, as we've established then that the promises, they are alone for the Lord's people, let us consider the experiences of the Lord's people as we have them set forth in the previous verse, that thereby we may perceive, if we have an interest in some of these truths in verse 9, then, my dear friend, we have a title to the blessings in the 10th. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Now these are the characters to whom this blessing belongs, and to whom in their day and their life through this wilderness here below, they shall feel the need of the truth of those blessings being fulfilled in their own experiences. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. And where is that? My dear friend, it is when we were found in days of unregeneracy, far off from God, satisfied with the dying things of this world, without any desire to seek after eternal realities. That's how we were born, each one of us, into this world. And my dear friend, without a knowledge of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer revealed to us, and we have no desire to know him and to live and die in that state, how awful must be the prospect. And yet, in those days of unregeneracy, we had no power to change ourselves. And one has to say, perhaps no desire to change, to know that change which is wrought in the heart by the work of the dear Holy Spirit. And so it must be a greater power that can ever be found in you and I, to change our heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. And that is alone the work of the dear Holy Spirit, of everyone who is chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that is that time when the Holy Spirit draws near and quickens a soul into divine life. And the dear Lord comes and takes us out of that wretched place that we were found in by nature. Ah, my dear friend, the feeling sense of that truth is not known in a moment. It may be over many weeks and months and years, but there is one who has done it. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. And you know, my dear friend, when the Lord's people are brought to see a little of where they are by nature, or where they were by nature, and this great salvation wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty and blessedness of the gospel made known in a poor sinner's heart, and to see what once we were dead in trespasses and in sins, then to realize truly we were at the ends of the earth. And that means this: as far off from God as mankind can ever be, a great gulf between a holy God and a poor, wretched sinner. But what a mercy, my dear friend, if this truth is known in your heart and my heart. We have been taken from the ends of the earth. You see, the Lord has done it. It's a mighty power alone that can accomplish it, that we can be brought out of that state by nature, the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we shall know it as a mighty power and feel it in our own heart because of the effect of it in our hearts and in our lives. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. And he goes on, and call thee from the chief men thereof, O those satisfied with the world and the things of it, which perhaps once we were all associated with and were not concerned over it. The Lord calls his dear people out of the world. It's a mighty call, because it is that voice spoken into a poor sinner's heart, wherein those souls are shown what is in their own hearts, the awful state they're found in by nature, and to see they stand in great need if ever they are to escape the wrath to come. That called, God speaks into a poor sinner's heart. My dear friend, The Lord's people, I believe, can go back to that time when they were brought out of the world. You know, we cannot go, many of the Lord's people cannot go back to that very time, that place, the moment when the dear Holy Spirit quickened us into divine life. And yet, my dear friend, although it's a great trial to the Lord's people, to some of the Lord's people, because they hear of others who can speak of it, my dear friend, the evidence of it is a great change wrought in your heart and mine. And if you and I know that change, and we look and look back now and see what has taken place, then, my dear friend, we shall know that the one who is mightier than anything here below has called us out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light, called from the world, the chief men of the world, called from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, my chosen, my child, the one whom the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for, the one whose soul has been redeemed, the one who has a glorious inheritance of the saints in light awaiting them when called from time to eternity. Thou art my servant, no longer a slave of the devil, as once we were. Now there is a desire to know this dear Saviour, a desire to worship him, a desire to walk in his ways and obey his commands. But there is that desire found there of their great need of mercy as they come pleading for mercy for Jesus' sake. The well-trodden path of all the Lord's people right down from Adam's day to this. Each one is brought a helpless, undone, wretched, poor sinner pleading that God would have mercy upon us for Jesus' sake and what he has done. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Oh, it was that you feared. You felt there was no hope for you. You felt that you were at the ends of the earth and still there, and the awful prospect of being cast out of God's sight in that last day. Oh, how the thought penetrated your poor heart. Oh, how troubled and tried you are or were. I have not cast thee away. Why? Although your sins deserve it. It is alone through Jesus Christ and what he has done as he stood in your room and place and stead and suffered the punishment due to you and me for our sins, and there to suffer in his body and soul and go to Calvary and lay down his life. My dear friend, it's not what you and I can do or what we have done. It's all in Christ, what he has accomplished for a poor needy sinner at Calvary. I've not cast thee away. You thought I would, but my dear friend, that one is a chosen vessel. One whom the Lord set his love upon in eternity past to manifest the rich favours of the gospel to to them. Now these are the characters. Oh, you say, I can enter in to a little, but oh, that the Lord would come and speak into my poor heart. You know, if you're a child of God, that's what you want. Do you want to hear the Saviour's voice in your heart? And oh, it'll be this, cause me to hear it. Oh, show to me that I'm amongst these favoured characters. Show to me that my sins have been forgiven. Is that your desire this night? Is that how you've come into the Lord's house? Exercised, troubled, wondering whether you're quite deceived, wondering whether you've quite mistook the way, and you've come with that desire in your heart, my dear friend. That desire doesn't come from your sinful heart. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. And in that desire being imparted to you as you feel your need of those things. And you know those desires, through the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, must be satisfied. They must be satisfied. Oh, perhaps you say, I've been crying for that blessing. I've been waiting for many years. And oh, I'm so tried. The devil seems to often assault me. My poor heart is full of unbelief. I wonder whether ever I'm totally deceived. Well, dear friend, the Lord's people know a little of that path you're going through. They know the assaults of the enemy to their souls. But there's one who upholds you and strengthens you and enables you to continue. And enables you to continue crying to him. But oh, dear friend, there is a set time. There's a set time to favour Zion. And the dear Lord's dear people, knowing something of that path, those who have been brought to know a precious Christ revealed to them, they'll be enabled to declare that God is a faithful God. They know the truth and fulfillment of that word, of those words of the Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labour, and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Now these are the characters who have a title to the blessings, the gospel blessings, set forth in the word before us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. Oh, how many precious fear nots there are in this sweet book. You see, you say, well, perhaps I'm so full of fear. I struggle with unbelief in my heart. Oh, this wretched carnal reason where I fall so often to reasoning things out myself, my own case, and making my own judgment of my own spiritual condition. Fear not, my dear friend, these words are spoken by the dear Lord Jesus into the hearts of those tried and tempted ones, those ones that are full of fear. Does that describe you tonight, my dear friend? Those fears, there may be those things which you fear in providence. But you know, I believe those fears are greater in the hearts of the Lord's exercised people as to their own spiritual condition, as to whether they'll prove that they've quite mistook the way. There'll be many fears there. But you know, the Lord knows it. He knows your heart. He knows how you tremble, how you groan, how you come pleading before the Lord that he would remember you. Well, my dear friend, the Lord doesn't bring his dear people to that place in their spiritual experience and turn them away. He cannot. It is impossible. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, troubled soul. I know not your cases, your conditions, but what I do know is this, that if you're an exercised child of God, oh, you'll long to have these fear not spoken into your poor heart and to know the effect of it. As faith is given to lay hold of the truth of it, but not only to lay hold of the truth of it and the fulfillment of the promise, but it is the one who has spoken it, that one whose word can never fail. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Dear friend, if the Lord is with you, what more do you want? What more can you need? If the Lord is with us, oh, you say, I would that I could feel it. Well, the Lord's people long to know more of the Saviour's presence. But my dear friend, if you're amongst his dear people, you're one of those his dear people, he's with you. His eye is upon you in love and mercy. We may not always have a feeling sense of his presence, and that grieves a child of God. And oh, what self-examination it brings. What is the cause of it? We don't have far to look, do we? To look within our own hearts and see the sin. Those things that have occupied our minds, so carnal, overtaken and overwhelmed with the cares of time and sense. And oh, it is then as it brings us to real repentance, a Holy Spirit wrought repentance, to confess our sinful condition and plead with him that he'd yet have mercy upon us. The Lord said this, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And neither will he, my dear friend. You feared it sometimes. The devil suggests it. Those times when you feel to be so lifeless, so have that soul, that soul of yours languishing, and oh, you long for a gracious revival. The Lord is with you, my dear friend. His eye is upon you. He is managing every aspect of your life, the path you walk in, the trials that you pass through, the afflictions that you know. They're all divinely appointed. His eye is ever upon his dear people. And you know, he said this, didn't he? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And some of you, I believe, can look back to that time when the Lord so sweetly drew near and visited your poor soul and spoke that word into your poor heart, wherein you were raised up to a hope in God's mercy in Jesus Christ. You knew he'd spoken it, and you were sensible There was almost a fierce sense of awe that the Lord had so condescended to look upon such a wretch and take notice and speak such a word into your poor heart. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I am thy God. And you know, if God is our God, what can we lack? Nothing is impossible with him. He is almighty, all powerful, and there's nothing that we stand in need of for time and eternity that the Lord sees we need, he will fulfill and grant to his people, that is to be found a partaker of those riches of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Is he yours? Is he mine? Searching question, my dear friend, that we shall, if we're a quickened soul, be brought to see this. If ever my poor soul be saved, then Christ must be the way. I am thy God, who chose thee before the foundation of the world, that you should be found holy and without blame before him in love, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The blessings that flow to a child of God through Jesus Christ as these truths are made known to them. Who said, because I live, ye shall live also. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Cast down you may be now, troubled and burdened your soul, may you make your soul experiences. But my dear friend, if God is your God, he knows just what you need, and he'll supply that need. That which you're waiting for, he will surely give in his time and in his way. For he is your God, who said to Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. His shield, that is a shelter from the world and the things of it. A shelter from that enemy to our souls, but a shelter, my dear friend, a shield from the wrath of a holy God poured out upon a sinner who stands condemned under God's holy law. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. And now we have these sweet cluster, and what a sweet cluster they are of precious promises. I am thy God, I am with thee, I will strengthen thee. Ah, you know, to hear that word spoken into your poor heart and mine, we shall know first of all how weak we are, and feel our need of that strength. To be brought to the end of all our strength, that perceived strength we imagined we have. And it may be not only spiritually, but physically. The Lord brings us down sometimes. David knew it. We read this. He weakened my strength in the way. And why did the dear Lord do it? It was that thereby he may bring his dear servant David to rest wholly upon him and to trust alone in him. And the Lord brings his people to that very same place from time to time. Weakness of mind, perhaps weakness of body, of spirit. But you know, he will strengthen his dear people in the path of prayer. These places bring us to real prayer, don't they? When we have a sense of our real need, and we are brought to cast our all upon God, pleading with him that he'd undertake for us and strengthen us, enable us to continue. And my dear friend, when the dear Lord gives to us, oh, that precious favour of access to him by the throne of grace, that's only gained as he gives that strength to that child of God to pray. And as they feel their need, that prayer indicted by the Holy Spirit. Oh, you say, my prayers are so feeble, so weak. But my dear friend, if they're indicted by the Holy Spirit, although those prayers seem so feeble, the Lord hears. And we'll answer those petitions. You know, sometimes the Lord's poor people, feeling their own hearts, come to groaning to the Lord. Many a sigh sees them all. He knows the longing heart. He knows those things they long to know and lay hold of. But you know, he brings us to feel our weakness first and to cast our all upon him, trusting in him that he will remember us in mercy, that he will appear. And my dear friend, those who have been brought to that very place in your experience, has he failed you? Has he failed me? My dear friend, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. You see it to these characters who are made to feel their weakness and their helplessness. It's helpless souls, my dear friend, that feel their need. It's helpless souls feelingly, as they come to the throne of grace, are enabled to cast their all upon the Lord, pleading with him as dear Hezekiah did. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Do you know that prayer? I believe the Lord's people, in their life's experience, will know that something of that cry coming forth from their hearts, oppressed with sin, oppressed with circumstances, oppressed with those things that are taking place around us, feeling to have no strength, utterly helpless, as dear Hezekiah was in his great distress. But the Lord wonderfully appeared to him, and he will appear to you. You know, you'll prove this much better, far better than ever you could ask or even think, or your many, many fears. Yea, I will help thee. Perhaps that distress in your heart, my dear friend, is this, as you feel your weakness and helplessness. However can I continue? However will I endure unto the end? Well, my dear friend, You won't endure to the end in your own strength. It is as the Lord speaks this word into your poor heart, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. And he will, and he'll bring his dear people safely through. There's not one whom the Lord has begun that good work in their heart, he's chosen them in the dear Lord Jesus, who will fail to reach heaven at last. We fear. Oftentimes we wonder. And the devil often suggests it, doesn't he? You're deceived. You know the Lord's servants know something of it. Oh, you know, that experience of the dear apostle having preached to others and to be found a castaway at last. But where does it bring us? It brings us to the throne of grace, pleading that the Lord would undertake for us and strengthen us, enable us to continue and grant us a fresh token of his love and mercy to our souls. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see, dear friend, we shall know this, that we have no power to keep ourselves. That lesson we shall learn over and over and over again. We have no strength, no will, but it's alone the Lord's people are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He must do it. And you know, when we feel our weakness in the hour of temptation, when the world around us seems to ensnare us, and our poor carnal hearts get lifted up, well, my dear friend, and the Lord brings us to his feet, we know then of that petition of the dear psalmist, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Set a watch before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Oh, the sweet confidence of that dear psalmist. He knew it. Experimenting his own poor heart, he knew what it was to fall. And my dear friend, you know, I believe the Lord's people know it too. And that's when we know our weakness and our inability to keep ourselves, when we fall into some sin. And oh, how it brings us in real repentance by the work of the Holy Spirit. But now the petition is this, Lord, hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see, he is a righteous God, and he'll deal with his dear people in love and mercy. But he that hath begun that good work, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's a righteous God, a just God, and a merciful God. And the Lord's people will know those truths experimentally in their own poor hearts. Well, dear friend, I leave this word with you. The Lord knows the purpose of it. May the Lord bring us to, by faith, if we know nothing of these truths, to plead with the Lord that he'd come and draw near unto us and fulfill these precious promises in our own poor hearts. If he makes us feel the need of it, then, my dear friend, we shall seek it, and they that seek shall find. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Wheatley next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election and with pleasure say, My God, trembling, fearing, hoping still, in Jesus' blood. 1038.
Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our hearts. Watch over us now as we part. Be with us and round about us in the days to come, if spared. But oh, do prepare us each for a never-ending eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.